We're now recording.
Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the DESA call on the 20th of April 2012. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Warren Kumari, Jörg Schweiger, Sarah Langdonau, André Thompson, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jacques Latour, Rossella Mattioli, Takayasu Matsuo, Scott Alzire, Julie Hammer, Jim Galvin, and Mark Costas. From staff, we have Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Rafik Damak, Luis Diego Espinosa, Don Blumenthal, George Osarisaki, and Bart Buswinkle. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie, and welcome all. Final description of what's on the screen. This is my neighbor's kitchen counter, where she has three eggs that stand on end. We had a lively discussion about why this happens and how we could test it before the call started. So for those of you who are reading the chat transcript, that's what's going on. We'll take a moment to see if there are any updates to people's statements of interest. Okay, really only two things on the agenda today. I want to take you very quickly through the report outline to give you a sense of at least the first pass and elicit shrieks of outrage. If there's something really wrong, this is a good time to find it. And then we've got a handful of threat scenarios that have come back, one from Rossella, one from Jörg, and three from me, that we can use to sort of stress test the compound sentence risk scenarios spreadsheet. We've found some things that I will try and drive into the next version. Just talk a bit about sort of writing paragraphs about anything you like on the report outline at the end. And that'll be it for today. I'm pretty sure that'll be a pretty full agenda. Is there anything that people want to bring up in addition to that on your minds? Okay. Off we go. Here's the report outline. Oh, boy, that's small. Let me make that a little bigger. Yeah, that's easier to read. I think I briefly walked us through this last time, but I want to take a bit more time today. I think I'm going to sort of go to the bottom of the hour on this, and then at the 30-minute mark, we'll switch over to the other stuff. But I do really want to get reactions from folks, and in order to do that, I'm going to drive down a bit into the outline and sort of give you a sense of where we're at. There's really two big pieces. The one that I think everybody is really looking to us for are the findings. And the findings are organized around our charter. And so there's the charter. And one of the things that we added before that was this definition of what do we mean by the DNS. We had a pretty lively conversation about this during earlier parts of the working group. And so I just, where there was work already done, I've taken that work and just copy and pasted it into this report outline. And so one of the things that we did is we built a definition of the DNS that really focuses on the root zone, the TLD zones, and support files that go with those, and said that's what we're talking about as the DNS. And I also stapled in a memo that we talked a fair amount about pretty early in the working group that Greg Aaron wrote, and I sort of took out the pithy bit there. So one of the things that we'll want to hammer on is this definition, and one of the things that I think is nice about this definition is that that question came up in other contexts. It came up in the SSRRT report, and it also came up in the discussion of the board DNS risk committee. So I think we've got a section of the report to write that a lot of people will be interested in. And it may be that it'll have to get revised a bit, but this is the definition that we're using right now. So that's one big finding. And I put that in findings because I think it is a finding. The big one, actual level, frequency, severity of threats to the DNS plus current efforts and activities to mitigate these, is a place for us to show off the methodology and start to define all of these things that we've got in that spreadsheet. So, for example, we have our threat events that we've already worked on, and I, in some cases, have tacked on some rhetorical questions. Oh, Cheryl, I was going to use your version. Darn it. Well, sorry. Next time. Cheryl came back with a version of this that's got some commentary, and I spaced out that I was going to use that one. Sorry. But, you know, we've got some puzzlers, you know, whether we want to add availability to the, or it's not availability, it's confidentiality. We may want to talk about that, or just leave it open. And then in here we had a discussion, especially in Costa Rica, about, you know, the whole security. At one point we had security out at this level, but we moved it down a level and put it in the incorrect category. You probably need to finish that discussion because, you know, there's a pretty lively discussion to be had there. But those are the threat events that we're focusing on right now, and that's what we'll write in our report, is some definitions around that. Got a pretty big chunk of work already done on what the adverse impacts are that we'll want to write in paragraph form. But I think we've got a pretty dense outline already there. I think we'll want to see this in paragraph form and then probably, again, edit it a bit. But I think this one's pretty close to ready in terms of being something that we can start to write. Then we get into some of these are scales, and I think when we write the report, we'll probably want to make scales subordinate to the things that they're a scale of. So, for example, I think rather than having likelihood of impact be a separate thing, I think we'll probably want to pull that up in there. And in fact, I think I'll do that right now so that I don't forget. Because, you know, I think the scales are important. Here's the scale that we've written so far. But I don't think that they are so important that they should be way up at the top of the pyramid. The ones that I think we have done less review of and less work on start at vulnerabilities. In prior parts of the report, we've done a lot of work on technical vulnerabilities. We have the DDoS spam recursive data poisoning. These are words and phrases that came from our prior work. We may want to expand these, but I'm not sure that we're in terrible shape there. I think we've done a lot of work on those. We have a fair amount to say. Somebody in the technical community, it would be lovely if you would start thinking about volunteering for writing some of these paragraphs, because I think we do need paragraphs underneath these. We've got sources for some of these that could be used to write those paragraphs, but they're not really in paragraph forms yet, so we could use some volunteer writers on that. Ones that are less reviewed and less fleshed out are the managerial level vulnerabilities and the operational vulnerabilities. And to clarify, one of the methodologies makes the distinction between operational things are things that are done by people, and technical things are things that are done by systems. You may want to pull that up into this. It's going to show up in a minute in the controls, but we may want to make the parallel there. Some of these vulnerabilities come from other places. They come from the SSRRT report, or in some cases, I stole some things from the board risk committee, the board DNS risk committee. And in those cases, we may be able to lift paragraphs, but some of the others just come straight out of the methodology. And there are, I will volunteer to write these paragraphs because there are paragraphs in the methodology already that we can use as a starting point. And I know where they are, so I'm comfortable taking on these paragraphs because I can plagiarize from somewhere else. And that will give us something to edit from. But I'm showing this to you because if there are things in here that drive you crazy, it would be good to start thinking about that and talking about it. Not now. I want to take you through the whole outline before we do that. But start thinking about things that are making you uncomfortable. Predisposing conditions is straight out of the methodology. That's the what the methodology has to say. And again, this is in the same hierarchy: managerial, operational, and technical. In some cases, I've started adding things in here based on methodology. You know, a lot of these aren't from the methodology, but are rather things that I've thought of that, and they're written in such a way that they could either be positive or negative effects on risk. So these paragraphs I will probably also volunteer to at least write a first draft of, just because these are phrases that came from me. But again, if we have especially technical, but technical and operational predisposing conditions that people want to either add or write paragraphs about, that would be great. The controls and mitigation part comes from a different methodology. And I think I mentioned this on the last call. There's a companion methodology to the 800-30 that we're using. That's the it's actually the 53 series. But there's also a 37 and a 39 series that I haven't actually taken a look at yet. The one that I started really stealing from for the controls list, the 53 series. And that's where this, these lists that came, that you saw in the spreadsheet came from. And again, these are easy ones to write first paragraphs from, because there's in each case there, in the methodology, there's a paragraph that we can start from. And so, again, I've got sort of a massive paragraph writing exercise in front of me that I am going to start now. I've had three or four other projects finally wrap up, so I've got some time to pivot back to this one and start drafting stuff for you to review based on this framework. And I have a lot more time available now. So that's kind of the controls part. Then we have our old friends, the threat sources. And we've done a fair amount of work on these before. This one is straight out of our work, for example. But it also turns out to be pretty closely paralleled in the methodology. And this one is, in some cases, out of the methodology, but we've added a few, like the root scaling stuff. We probably have a debate about where some of these go, whether they're adversarial or not. That'll be an interesting discussion. It's right now in non-adversarial, but some of the scenarios that I wrote are based on scenarios from other places like ISOC, and it's kind of a gray line between adversarial and non-adversarial threats there. So we've got a discussion on that to have. These are scales. So I think these will get pulled into respective chunk, and then the overall thing is the sort of score at the bottom. I think I stuck risk models in here. It's probably badly placed. I'll probably fix that in the next round. Anyway, that's the, you know, that's the findings stuff, is a series of scenarios plus these chunks, and be what we want to do. Add scenarios. At that now, so I don't forget. Because I think the scenarios that we're working on now are a major finding, and we want to get those pretty, actually pretty high in the list. Then I think another big finding is this whole approach thing that we did, and this is the compound sentence model plus the. And I started writing, this was written back in Costa Rica right after the meeting, so my thinking has evolved a little bit. So we're in the middle of doing that now. So I think what we'll maybe want to do is revise this a bit. And then the gaps and additional activities, I've just begun to sketch out material in these sections. So, you know, partly because I think we'll start to see the gaps come clear as the risk scenarios evolve, and we may also want to take a look at some of the other reports, like the SSRT report, and pull some of those things in here as well. One of the evolving things, and again, I think that our report in this iteration may have to be a little bit forward-looking. Sort of saying, no, we're not going to talk a whole lot about risk mitigation at the technical level, unless there are some really obvious ones. But we may be able to talk a little bit about the managerial and operational level, especially given the fact that the SSRT has already kind of given us a springboard to talk about that. And clearly one of the things that's coming through from everybody is the roles and responsibilities discussion. And as we go through our risk scenarios, we may want to keep an eye on that, as well as the methodology that, you know, we're pioneering, but lots of parts of the organization are thinking about the risk management framework, and we may want to comment on that a bit. So that's the findings part. I think it's going to be a pretty substantial report, actually. Got a lot to say there. That I think people will find useful in the community. Then I think we need also to document our approach, what we did and why we did it, and so on. So we had a conversation about go fast, then go deep. These are kind of notes to myself. There's a diagram that I'm going to steal next round of writing. So it's a little cryptic, but it makes sense to me that we'll describe sort of the difference between go fast, which is what we're in now, and go deep, which is where we're headed. I wrote another note to myself that said that we probably want to go back to our respective chartering organizations and check. And so in order to do that, I think we need to describe the next phase in some detail so that we can go back and check. We need a better name than go fast, then go deep. And maybe we'll put the eggs picture on the cover of that probability thing. Then this part is sort of the documentation of what we did. This is the whole why we picked a methodology. I think there's a lot of good work that's already been done. For those of you who've been with us for the whole run, you've seen it in every update practically that we've done, and we need to just write that down in words. This is a list of the methods that we took a look at. So this wasn't a choice that was made in a vacuum. You know, there really was some work that was done there. And I think that it's important that we do this because I think that this is a big decision that we made, and it needs to, the way we made it and the reasons we made it need to be documented. And so this is a section of the report to do that. And I'll take a whack at some of these paragraphs as well. I'm going to write a lot of paragraphs in this because so much of this is buried in notes that I took. And it's easier for me to do it than it will be for you all to find the places that it's documented. This is the risk model business, and some notes to myself, just sort of defining, again, these are paragraphs out of the methodology, and I'm seeing some duplication here. By this time, I've been in the cloud forest for a week, and my brain was turning into mush because I was having such a good time that some of this is a little repetitive. So I'm going to go through this, fix this. I think another big piece that we need to put in this part, the approach part, is this protocol for confidential information that we've been building. We've got a very close to final draft of that that we need to tie off before we get to the report, and then we can pretty much put that in this section of the report. And then I think that this actually moves up into the findings, because I think that we're making good enough progress on the risk scenarios that we'll be able to take these out of the test case and move them up into findings. I think one of the questions that we need to answer in a preliminary way and then take back to our ACs and SOs is the DSSA going to do one more iteration? Are we going to go deep once, or are we the beginning of something that's an ongoing effort? The reason this got into this outline is because if you read the especially the SSRRT report carefully and take a look at the way that the DSSA group, the way we are referred to in that report, they're a little bit ambiguous about whether we're a one-time thing, which is the way we're chartered, or an ongoing thing. And so I think we need to highlight that question and take it back to the group, the chartering organizations, for some review and commentary. I think we need in our approach section to talk a little, to talk about the next iteration and the work plan and stuff like that. And a lot of this is coming out of, this is straight out of the methodology. So no need to write much there. But then this part is, if we decide to do an ongoing organization, we might want to start thinking about what that looks like. And so I started thinking about what something like that could look like. This is something that you'll want to look at and ponder. We could propose that there's an ongoing thing that had this purpose, which is essentially our purpose now, plus some sort of ongoing community stuff that says, there's this ongoing thing that has a community of people within it that shares ideas and resources and then, provides tools and models and best practices and all sorts of things. This is a conversation that we may be able to use to resolve some of the dilemmas that plagued ICANN ever since its beginning, which is the dilemma as to what is the authority of ICANN to do anything. And one of the ways out of that is to say that the authority tends to be at the edge. And we started to get into this a little bit in Costa Rica. And that the model building and resource sharing tends to be at the center, but that the authority to do things is at the edge. So I do commend, I'm noticing that I'm at the bottom of the hour, and I want to switch gears and go over to the risk scenarios for the rest of the call, but I wanted to dig you down into this report outline enough to let you know that there's a fair amount of content buried in here already that you should ponder and react to. I think I'll take just a minute or two to see if there are any sort of shrieks of outrage, but I don't want to spend a lot of time today on this. I do want to switch us back to the risk scenarios, because I'd like to see if we could drive to getting a bunch of these in by the next call. So any sort of cries of tremendous pain? Pull the whole thing up so that you can Okay, I'm not seeing any hands shoot up, so good. And as I say, I think there are a lot of paragraphs that I will write just because I know where they are and I have models for them. But if anybody would like to volunteer for some, all ears. Just pound your volunteering into the chat and we'll capture that. Okay, thanks to Rosella and York, we've got two risk scenarios besides the three that I created to look at. So we really have five to take a look at today. And started taking notes on things that I'll try to fix for the next iteration, especially the problems that are created for people when you use OpenOffice. Didn't realize that those drop-downs didn't work in OpenOffice, so I'll try and figure out a workaround for that.
Actually, this is Warren. People use LibreOffice instead, which is also free, the drop-downs seem to work okay.
Oh, which office? What was that one?
I believe that it works on all platforms. L-I-B-R-E, LibreOffice, which I think is an offshoot of.
Okay, well, let's just pound that into the chat.
It may only work on Mac, but as far as I know, it's free and it works fine with dropdowns.
Cool.
I'll just randomly interrupt.
I love that. Unless everybody starts doing it, then it'll get a little choppy. But I will take a look at LibreOffice, and if it does work, then I'll. And it is open source across all platforms, that would be a great help because the drop-downs are really helpful. The other thing that Jörg pointed out is that the way the drop-downs work, they don't make much of a distinction between the headings and the content in the tables, and that I think fix with some better labeling. So I'll drive that into the next one. But let's just take a look at some of these. Those are pretty hard to read. Hang on a minute. It's bigger. This is Jörg's. It's kind of readable. Let me go up one more notch, which may make it. Custom. There. That's pretty close. That's about as good as it's going to get. Unless I cheat. Let's cheat. There's the mumbling, Cheryl. How about that? All right. So Jörg wrote the DDoS attack on root servers risk scenario, and sent it out to the list, and his take was that rogue elements and that, you know, you can sort of read for yourself. They're pretty capable. They've got pretty good intent. And they're sort of in the moderate range on targeting. This is the issue where that's a heading rather than a specific thing. And you have sort of an interesting debate. It may be that the headings should stay in just so we can capture the whole category of technical vulnerabilities. Got some ideas about the this one here. look at that. Anyway, I think that it worked. Do you want to share any observations about things that didn't go well for you when you were doing this that I should to the next round?
Yeah, sure, could do that, Jörg, for the transcript. I think the one thing that spring into my mind has already been mentioned by you, and that was the sub-columns part. Another thing that could be interesting, for example, could you please move up to the thread events column?
Thread event,
thread sources.
Thread sources, yeah.
So where we have row elements. I would have found it easy if I could just not only pick one, but pick more, because I think the assessments on capability, intent, targeting, and vulnerabilities and so forth might not only fit just row elements, it might fit other threat sources as well. So if we wouldn't want to end up with a whole, like, reams of papers of threats describing more or less or consisting of roughly the same information in the other columns, it might be easy if we could not only pick one thread source but more than one. So, for example, geopolitical groups might be more or less the same assessment with respect to capability, intent, targeting, and so forth. But that was just an example.
So there's the way I would solve it, because I fear of the... I think the easiest way to solve that in this particular context is to simply type the ones that you want to add into the box.
Yeah, fine with me.
And I think that, you know, and this is a really good point that you're raising, I like the idea of treating the drop-down lists as sort of a starting point, but that they're something that you can tailor, so that if you find that, you know, it's rogue elements and geopolitical groups and somebody, and, you know, even put in examples if we want. Because I think that the way to treat this framework, at least on the left side, is that this is something that we don't necessarily have to stay rigidly in these categories. But rather use it as a way to document the scenario that we're trying to describe. And the other thing is that it's going to be really hard to build a spreadsheet that's not really confusing, that allows, you know, multiple choice in there. So I kind of like it from a technical standpoint as well. Jacques? You want to add on to this, or have you got another point?
Yeah. So for the headings, in the menus, you can put the title in uppercase, and then start the individual item with, like, dash, dash, and then whatever.
Yeah.
So you can make a distinction between.
Yeah, that is precisely the way I was thinking about doing it, is that I would change the table just so... So, for example, what Jacques is... I'm going to switch over to a different... One of the things that's interesting about Yerkes is that it lost all of the drop-down menus altogether. So if I go to the... This is the template where I'm fixing things. I went like this. And... put dashes in front of each one. That. one example. Then if we go back to our gizmo, drop-down menu now makes it painfully clear that something's not right. Never mind. Anyway, I know what you're talking about, Jack. I'll fix it. But I won't do it on the call. Okay, other thoughts? Now, one of the things that I was curious about is, and I'll test this out on Eric and Rosella, is whether, since Eric, you did the very first DDoS attack one, whether you would like to be the editor-in-chief of that scenario until it's gotten to consensus. So essentially start to split up the scenario editing job so that I'm not editing all the scenarios. And I was curious if you would be, you and Rosella would be game for doing that. Is that something that I could foist off on you guys as work to do? Or would you prefer not to be an ongoing editor of the scenario that you created? Thoughts about that?
Well, I could give it a try.
Notice that you have a cold.
Rosella for instance, yes.
Rosella, you
yes.
Okay with that too?
I'm in. Yes.
Wow. It's interesting.
Jacques here?
Yeah, Jacques, go ahead.
I'd like, can we go through the predisposing condition in this scenario? Because I'm still having issues around that.
Sure. Let's see. We're back to your ERGs. And get these all on the screen. So the predisposing conditions that positively impact risk, let me get those up to the top, are the resiliency and redundancy ones, which Jurg has very high. So that means it reduces risk a lot because the implication is that it is that it's applicable very broadly. And the diverse distributed system architecture and deployment, which is a moderate reduction of risk because many of the organizations that provide the DNS have that. So take it away, Jacques. Do you have a comment about those that you wanted to add?
Oh, no. I think I get it now.
Yeah. I mean, what I did is I split it into two piles of predisposing conditions, the ones that reduce risks and the ones that increase risk and maybe positively impact. And I'm actually going to put that as a note in my little – oops, not that way.
And this is Warren. I've got a question once we're done.
Sure. Hang on just a minute. Dang it. Die hard. Okay, Warren, go ahead.
So I still don't entirely understand what we do with the that would result in adverse impact bit. Because we presume that all would happen, but in many cases that's not necessarily true. Like identity theft doesn't happen if the zone doesn't resolve properly. Or something like that. Or, you know, if the zone is unavailable. And then also the numbers on the side of that I still don't get. So
yeah, we this is a leftover from the prior conversation. I think this might have been it may be that we want to revisit this now, but what we basically said in the lead-up to Costa Rica was that we were really struggling with an exploding permutations tree. And so we solved the permutations problem by saying we really only have a couple of threat events. The zone is either not available or it is incorrect. And then we took the adverse impacts right out of the methodology, and we probably need to revise that into at least two versions. One being the version for when the zone's not available, and one being the version when the the zone is inaccurate. That's a good catch, Warren.
Yeah, I think they should be able to be grouped nicely like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Let me take a go at that.
And I guess while I'm holding the talking stick, what are we supposed to do with these once we're sort of written them? Who do we ship them to?
Another good catch. Hold that one while I type. I was gonna mention that to the whole group, and that is that. Let me show you something else that I did and see if this makes sense to you.
I mean, I wrote two of them last night, but thought that they were kind of crappy and was embarrassed, so I just mailed them to you a minute or two ago. I waste everyone's time with the whole book.
With me as your co-chair, you're worried about crappy or embarrassing stuff?
Oh, you haven't seen them yet. Withhold your judgment, tell you.
Okay, I just want to point out the low standard that I set. So here's what I did on our wiki.
Ooh, a wiki.
A wiki, yeah. This is our little DSSA wiki. And I built a little section, which is probably a little too hard to read. Let me see. That's better. What I was thinking is that we probably want to take this through stages. So I'm holding the pen on the template, and I've got a list of to-dos for version 5. And I think the next stage is the ones that you all are submitting. And unless it drives you crazy, what I'd like to do is post them to the wiki. And the only drawback to that is then the whole world gets to see them, which heightens, it makes the embarrassment factor even worse. But I think the nice thing about that is that then what we have is at the beginning, we have a big pile of risk scenarios that are essentially individual efforts that are being continuously refined by the working group. And the individuals would sort of remain the editors until they graduate, at which point they move into this pile where the risk scenario is one that's been hammered on enough by the working group that we're all in agreement that it's at least close enough that we can all support it. And then I'm going to also start building a worksheet that summarizes these so that we can see all the risk scenarios on one page. And essentially, doing that, we get to start comparing scores and ironing out some of the inconsistencies between them. system, and my thought was that I would start doing that with our individual ones. Simply, you know, change their status in that worksheet. So what that implies is that a couple of things. These sort of go through stages. And in the earliest stage, you're sort of accountable for your own crappy work. But I think that I would find it hard to imagine a bad job of a risk scenario. So I'm wondering if having the spotlight shine on you that brightly is going to... I would worry if this spotlight is going to make you, not you collectively, but especially you, Warren, not want to submit a risk scenario because you're embarrassed. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't want to make an uncomfortable or an unsafe place for you.
Oh, no. I'm perfectly fine having silly things posted with my name on them. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be wasting other people's time by sending over something.
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, my first one's probably acceptable to post. My second one turned into more of a joke because it was making me got slap happy.
I think maybe a couple of joke ones in here wouldn't be such a bad idea, you know.
Right.
We working groups all tend to take ourselves awfully seriously, and sometimes the occasional... You know, we can have eggs on the cover and a couple of joke scenarios that... we'd leave it up to the reader to figure out which ones were the jokes. And that might not be a bad thing. How do other people feel about that structure that I'm describing? Are you all okay pushing your risk scenarios right out into the light of day, or would you rather not? Cheryl's okay. She's in with a check mark. I think it's... And so then, to save, I then debate whether to post these to the list, and then I scrape them off the list and post them to the wiki. Or, if you want, you could send them to me, and then I could post them to the wiki and send a link to the list. And I thought that, given that some of us are on limited bandwidth at times, you know, all of us have limited bandwidth at some time, but it might be better if you sent me the risk scenarios and then I'll post them to the wiki and send links to the list. Mark, is that a check mark on that idea, or is that a check mark on the previous one? Of course, you can't speak. Oh, but he can type previous. Okay. Rosella, go ahead. Oh, you may be muted. Maybe that there was a lot of line. Natalie, did Rosella's line get muted during that last week? Oh, there she is. Okay, never mind.
Are you going to hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. Rosella from the town. Yeah, I just want to point it out, as Jeff was saying on the chat, that maybe some scenarios should not go public, because we are talking about vulnerabilities and, okay, we don't have to think in a, like, in the worst scenario, but, yeah, somebody could read it. So maybe we should create, like, access-only DSSA members part of the wiki.
That is a really interesting question. For those of you who maybe didn't hear Rosella because her line is not too loud, Jacques raised in the chat, maybe some scenarios should not go public. And Jacques, I might circle back to you and Rosella and say, is there a way to write the scenario so that it could go public for this phase and then indicate that the deep analysis of the scenario might require confidential information, so that we could capture the idea in very broad strokes and then indicate that this particular scenario may require a non-public part of its analysis. You got any thoughts on that one, Jacques? Because you're thinking, I bet you're thinking for the scenario, and I'm just wondering if you think about that particular scenario, could you cast it in a way that could be public at this phase?
You have to summarize the scenario at a high level, and it kind of dilute the value of the exercise to some level, right? So I'm planning to have a team meeting later on today with all my DNS people to figure out all the worst-case scenario here. And they're going to be pretty detailed, so I'm not sure I want to put that out. We've got to figure out.
I think that the for this phase, at least for a first try, I'm not terribly committed to this, and it would certainly be easy to keep some scenarios out of the public eye. From a technical and project standpoint. But I'm sort of in. I would rather have all the scenarios be out there in public, and an indication that some of these we may have to assess in a different way in the future. So this is a perfect opportunity, Jacques, when you do your meeting this afternoon, see which scenarios fall out, and then maybe as part of that meeting, see if there is a way to describe that scenario that could be made public. And if there is, if there is no way to describe it, that tells us a lot. And may get to exercise our confidential information model a little sooner than I was thinking. So let's let you be the test case on that and see what you learn. And why don't you kind of give us a report either via the list or, if not via the list, certainly next call as to how that came out, because I think it's really important to understand and learn. And then if it turns out that there are some scenarios that simply cannot be revealed, that's fine. We can certainly operationally accommodate those. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Is that a reasonable course forward for you, Jacques? Ooh, it's 9.
Yep. I'll try to summarize.
Okay. I just realized it's the top of the hour and we're losing people. Dang. I guess that's going to be it. I do try to stay within the hour. So that's it. Talk about an ungraceful end to a meeting. I'm really sorry, but there you go. Anyway, carry on, and I'll push some stuff out to the list. And thanks for being here, Natalie. I think we can wrap up the recording and call it a day.
Okay, thank you, Ricardo. You may now stop the recording. Thank you.
Okay.